Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. And I remember that we were put on a fire support base, and we had an area that was half the size of this room, and there was 120 guys huddled there, and we were under attack 40 miles from the nearest U.S. emplacement. And in an area half the size of this room, we took 170 direct mortar hits within a few hours. We were under severe attack. You could see the muzzle fire from the weapons as they came up the hill. And you know what? I had my M16 pointed down the hill, and they were too far away for me to fire. But I was looking down the barrel of my gun, waiting on somebody to come into range. And you know what was going on in my mind? This is God's truth. I was sitting there thinking, oh God, this could be the day I get to meet you. I could get to go to be with you today. And I was so excited thinking about that. And I was praying for the Vietnamese. I said, God, these people don't know you. Oh God, have mercy on them. God, reveal yourself to them. And I was interceding for the people that I was about to kill. I never had to shoot them, praise God. But you know, I would have. I'm not saying I would have shot if they'd have got in range. But I'm saying that's what I was thinking. And did you know, 20 years after the fact, I was here in Chicago, and a man came and gave me a book that had 12 testimonies from Vietnam in there. And his testimony was one of them. And it was written up by the New York Times as being the best testimonial about Vietnam of anything, and it won a bestseller book. And so anyway, he had his testimony in it, and he wanted me to read it. And I've never been interested in reading anything about Vietnam, but he had signed this book and wanted me to read it, and I knew the next night he had asked me. So I went to my hotel room and I read his story, and it was powerful. And so I got interested and I read the next one, and I wound up reading all 12 of these stories. I read that whole book. Three of those people were in the same division that I was in. Two of them were there while I was there. And I believe one of them was on that fire support base that was under attack. You know, he didn't give specifics, but it sounded exactly like what I was under. And he was reporting it from an unbeliever's standpoint and talking about the fear. And he described it so vividly that here I was 20 years after being in Vietnam reading a testimony about what I went through, and fear hit me. And it took me a day or two to pray that fear off of me. And it just dawned on me that, man, I didn't even realize what was going on. But I was just so in love with the Lord, it was like, man, it's all I could do to keep from jumping up and asking them to shoot me. I had zero fear. And you know what caused all of that? I was just in love with God. And I knew that God loved me. And I'm telling you, this is my personal testimony, that when you get in love with God and He's first and foremost in your life, nothing else matters. It just really doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. This is exactly what you see in the Bible. Paul and Silas were thrown in the Philippian jail, beaten. Their backs were raw. And in the 16th chapter of Acts, they were put in the Philippian jail. And they started singing and praising God at midnight. They were in the dungeon. There was no light in there. They had disease. I'm sure they had rats and things like that. It was a terrible situation. Their backs were hurting, and their feet and their hands were in the stocks. And yet they started singing and worshiping the Lord. Now, there's some people who would sing because they know it's a weapon against the devil, and so they sing in anger because, praise God, because they're doing it to fight the devil. But the moment that they would have gotten delivered, they'd have been gone because they weren't really praising God. They were just doing it to get what they want. But here's the amazing thing. Paul and Silas got to singing and worshiping the Lord at midnight, and glorifying God. God got to patting his foot, and an earthquake happened, and it set all of the prisoners free. Their chains fell off. Their doors opened up. And the amazing thing is that when they got free, they didn't leave, and they didn't quit singing. Here's a novel thought. They weren't praising God in order to get something. They were actually praising God. They actually loved God. And even when they were set free, it didn't matter. They were just as happy in prison as they were before. Most of us don't know that. Most of us go through so much religious stuff in order to squeeze something out of God. We go through the motions of praising God, even reading the Bible, but it's in order to appease an angry God, not because we really love Him and we want to understand how much He loves us. So much of what we do is with the wrong motivation. So much of our prayer isn't sincere. It's just manipulation and trying to get God to do something, and we wonder why it's not working better. Paul and Silas actually loved God. And they were singing not because they wanted to get free. When they got free, they didn't leave. They were just as happy in the stocks. They were just as happy in the dungeon as they were outside. I took a pastor over to Romania, and we were there just 2 months after Ceausescu was overthrown, and I was the very first person to ever minister in a communist cultural hall in Romania. They had pictures of Marx and Lenin that were four stories high still beside us, and across Marx and Lenin's face, they had evangelist Andrew Womack plastered over their face. I was the first American to ever be in there, and we desecrated Mark and Lennon's pictures and stuff, and it was an exciting time. And anyway, I preached in there, and we saw some good things happen. But one of these preachers that was with me, we were with a couple who had been imprisoned, been beaten. Their electricity was turned off. They went through a winter with ice an inch thick on their ceiling, walls, and floor. Their daughter was beaten because she was a Christian by the Communist Cultural Party's daughter. And they were just treated terrible. And we brought them two sausages that were about this long and two deals of cheese. And that was a year's supply of cheese and meat for them. They broke down and cried. They ate lard spread on bread. Sometimes they'd fry it, sometimes they'd just eat it raw, but pig lard on bread three times a day, and that was their meal. They knew problems and suffering the way that most Americans have never thought of. And now that Ceausescu was dead and they didn't have a government yet, this pastor that was with me, boy, we need to teach them the word. We need to get them in there and start showing them how to get in and participate and do this. And he was talking about all of the physical things. And I just stopped him in his tracks and I said, these people are happier than you have ever been in your life. That woman who we were, they smuggled Bibles in for us. And I asked her, I said, why didn't you ever take any of these opportunities to escape Romania when it was under communist control? You had lots of people that would have sponsored you. Why didn't you leave? And she says, you Americans, you think that we have to have food and we have to have heat and we have to have clothes and things like this to be happy. She says, I am so happy right where I am. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Who would minister to the Romanians if we left? She says, man, I'm happy in the Lord. And I just stopped that pastor. I said, you know, just leave them alone. Don't try and make Americans out of them that now they've got to improve their standard of living and become external. They were happier in those bad situations than most of us have ever been. You know why? Because of a relationship with the Lord. In the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul told Timothy, he says, those of you who are in bondage to a slave owner, he was talking to slaves, he says, stay there and glorify God. Did you know many people today would just scream and yell, no, this is unjust injustice. How dare you do that? This wasn't God approving of slavery. God never created slavery, but you know what? It doesn't matter if you're slave or if you're free. And I know that this is offensive to a lot of people because we are so external. But I can guarantee you there are slaves back in the 1800s that were happier than many of their descendants are today because they had a relationship with God that goes far beyond their great-great-great-grandchildren today. And their great-grandchildren have advantages in every way, and many of them are miserable and sick and diseased and doing dope and drugs and everything else. It's not your outside circumstances. It's not the pressure without. It's the vacuum within that is causing people to crumble. When I was in the sixth grade, our teacher heated a metal gas can, a 1 gallon gas can, and heated it on a Bunsen burner and got it real hot, and then screwed the lid on it and put it on the desk right in front of me. I was on the front row, and he put it there, and then he just went on and started teaching. And you know what? It amazed us, because what happens is when you heat it, hot air expands. And so all of this air in there was expanded. As it cooled, the air condensed. It formed a partial vacuum. And without anybody touching that gas can, I was sitting just a few feet away from it, and I watched this thing begin to just crumble like somebody was beating it. And it fell, it actually bent in two, fell on the floor, and it was just like somebody had a hammer hitting that thing, and it was just crushed under the atmospheric pressure. And it made an impression on me I've never forgotten. You know, the Lord spoke to me and he says, that's what the problem is today. Everybody's talking about the pressures we have today. The pressure we have today in this world is no different than it was 1,000 years ago under Roman rule or under... Matter of fact, we got it better than most people. It's not the pressure without. It's the fact that we have a vacuum within that is causing you to crumble under pressure. People say, well, kids have so much more pressure on them today. They have so much... Oh, I mean, it's really bad because their friends all have the shoes that light up when they walk and they don't have them. And I mean, that just is a justification for them being a rapist and murderer. All of their friends have designer jeans. That's not pressure.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank all of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, we are sharing things that are changing people's lives. We are having a huge response. We have over 35,000 contacts per month, and that's not including our website, which averages over 15,000 contacts per day. We're reaching a lot of people. People's lives are being changed. And I couldn't do that if it wasn't for those of you who are partners with us. So I want to thank you. And I just want to mention to the rest of you, if you are being blessed, if you recognize the potential blessing that this could be to other people, would you help us to reach out with the gospel? We need to increase our outreach. We've got opportunities, more opportunities, and we've got finances. So pray about it and then become a partner with us today.